Wow. Nick here. I'm a very, very grateful recovering nicotine addict. And thank you, Tammy. That was so gracious. Is that really me that you introduced? Can you tell that I've been talking a lot to Tammy? Because I'm starting to even get the Tammy accent a little bit. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for that introduction. And yeah, I'm pretty direct. And it is what it is. And I'm a very grateful person in recovery. You know, I've said before, sometimes I think doing one step a year really hits the spot for me. And because I've been in the other fellowship for 32 years, I felt like when I hit 12 years there that I really had the 12 steps. And hitting 12 years here, I really feel that I have the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. And I've been very blessed. I'm just very blessed. And I have to say that I am very much indebted. I am very much indebted to recovery. And I expressed this morning in my other fellowship, because I really, if I did not get in recovery in the other fellowship, I don't know that I would have ever retired and live the life that I am living now. When I retired, I decided that I was going to get involved in service heavily, because I didn't, the only service I did prior to retirement was just being treasurer of different groups. And they were never big groups. They were all small groups. And I did it for 2 years. And then I always went to another group. I never had a home group in the other fellowship. But 12 years ago, when I decided to quit nicotine, I found out about Vonar before. I downloaded Pal Talk. I smoked my last cigarette. And I came here. And I was just dazzled by this program, because I could come in the room, and it was always at least, when we have 17 now, I always remember 13, 14, 15 people in the room every meeting I went to, and half of those people had been in recovery in the other fellowship too. So, you know, I just loved the fact that I had all of this recovery surrounding me, and it opened up my world. Like, even though I had been in recovery for 20 years in the other fellowship, this opened my world. This opened everything. And I can look back. I can look back at these 12 years, and I just know that I have grown more than I could ever have realized. I never thought that having 20 years in the other fellowship and coming here and staying in both fellowships for the last 12 years could have improved the quality of my life like it has. But believe me, you know, you can go back and think to me, I spoke when I had 3 months, and I spoke every year since then, and except for maybe technical problems that it didn't get taped, you know, I've never listened to myself. I've also spoke at a conference going back 3 or 4 years. And I've never listened to myself. I don't want to listen to me. So why? Because I probably would say, oh, dude, I can't believe I said all those stupid things. But, you know, every year I share about my recovery for the year. I don't go back and talk about all the crap that happened before I came here. All I can say is that I came into recovery, and I did most of it right here in this room. And I want to share about the last year because I was thinking about it. I was sitting here for about 15 or 20 minutes before the meeting started. And I'm like, wow, this has really been a big growth year for me. A lot of growth. And the one thing I want to say is that no matter what happens in life, there is no reason for me to pick up. And I can go back a year ago, and 1 year ago, I was in so much pain because a lot of stuff happened in my family. And I felt like, you know, when you start recovery, a lot of times people say, stay away from your family. You know, in the other fellowship, they say a lot, you know. And my family's very active in nicotine and in alcohol and in gambling and in codependency and family. And I will never call you family because one family is way too much for me. Learning how to be a family member has been one big challenge for me. And so a lot of people like calling us family. I don't, it's really hard. But last year at this time, things were just, I was starting to come out of the fog of the family crisis. I started last January, in January of 2019, to replace my family time. I got involved with yoga, and I put the time that I would put into family, reaching out, trying to connect, stopping and visiting, being a part of, accepting everyone for who they are. I started replacing that family time with yoga training, and I graduated from yoga training in June. And with 200 hours, so I am a yoga teacher. And that was a big change for me. But I have to tell you that I was in my shell during my yoga training. My shell that I'm not good enough. My shell that I'm not smart enough. My shell that I can't do the yoga moves that everyone else does because I'm 69 years old. And everyone else is so much younger than I. Not feeling great. But continuing the challenge. Now, people that know me from 2 and 3 and 4 years ago know that I was on the Nicotine Anonymous board. And on May the 1st this year, my time on the Nicotine Anonymous board was done. I actually was chairperson of Nicotine Anonymous. I never talked about it much in Vonar because I didn't feel that, I just didn't want to talk about it. What goes on is a whole different level, and it was, being the chairperson was one challenge, especially for Chick, because of my mouth. So for three friggin' years, I really maintained a quieter existence, really. I really did it. The year before I was on the board, I was chairperson here in Bonar. So I did a chairperson here, and then I moved into being chair of Nicotine Anonymous. And sometimes I think it was harder being chairperson here than it was in Nicotine Anonymous. Because Nicotine Anonymous is all-encompassing, respectful of everyone and how they do their position, and no one usually gets in each other's face at all. So I loved being on the board of Nicotine Anonymous. And a year ago, I was chairperson emeritus, which meant when the conference hit in May, I was going to not have a position anymore. And I was in California for the conference last year, and I want to talk a little bit about expectations, because one of the things that I worked very diligently on when I was on the board was trying to change or trying to get members of Nicotine Anonymous to get more people involved. And the only way to get more people involved was through telephone meetings and internet meetings, because face-to-face meetings generally have small populations. And so for the 3 years that I was on the board, I worked diligently in trying to get others, because I'm not a techie person, even though everyone thinks I am, to take spots in helping. And I loved working with the individuals that worked with me on this project. Yeah, at the conference last year, we really were trying to, there were three of us that worked along with other people on the committee. We were really trying to make Nicotine Anonymous more inclusive of computer and telephone to get new people involved. And well, it didn't end up that way. We were trying to get everyone attending online, and it didn't work. And it was disappointing. And I left the conference, and I went to the train station, and I went to spend time with my college roommate. And Bahanar was having a group conscience meeting as I was in the train. And our drama had gone on last year in Bahanar. And my connection was going in and out and in and out and in and out. But somehow someone nominated me to be chairperson of Bahanar, because the chair had resigned and then was coming back. And so someone nominated me to run against, the chairperson. And so I was like, I just left the board, and I really wanted to not do anything, but I really felt if this person asked me to run for chair, that I should run for chair, because there was so much going on. So I ran for chair, and I got disconnected. So I didn't know if I won or not. No one ever told me to come back into the room. It was really pretty comical. And here I am with a phone that was going in and out, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I finished being chairperson of Nick A, and I lost being chairperson of Honor. And I was like, well, wow, I really got to look at that. And I did. And I promised myself that I was going to step back and not find a new position for me to take in Bahanar, because the people in my home group voted for someone else. So it was all okay. And so my life opened up to yoga. And I became a yoga, I just was all into yoga. And I traveled a lot last year. I spent a couple of weeks in California following the conference, because being chairperson, I spent 3 to 4 hours a day doing work, if not longer. And when that's over, it was like, wow, what do I do now? It was just like quitting nicotine. What do I do now? And I was lost. Yeah, I was lost. And somehow I had started going to a face-to-face meeting that had like three people at it. And one of the women there asked me to be her sponsor. And she had been on lozenges for 10 years. And I'm like, oh man, you know, I don't know how to get anyone off of lozenges. You know, I've never used them. But, you know, it wasn't like she expected anything out of me. I don't know why she asked me to be her sponsor. But I started like stepping up to going to this face-to-face meeting. And I was also going to things called Y12SR, which is Yoga for 12-Step Recovery. So I made it more consistent. And they happened to have two classes on Tuesdays when the face-to-face meeting was. So I kind of stepped up my attendance at this face-to-face meeting. I mean, I still was in Bonner. I was sponsoring people in Bonner. And through the year, I managed to get three new sponsors. Well, I think I had one a year ago, but I got two new sponsors. And I don't know how to say this, but it was my first time in about 10 years that these sponsors were interested in going through the steps. And I was so excited because we have this beautiful step book. And, you know, for years, no one did the steps with me for years here. You know, they asked me to be their sponsor. Sure, I'm not one to push anything. I really believe that if a person wants to do something, they'll ask. And I've just learned in my recovery that if I do a lot of pushing, the only person that gets aggravated is me. So I've learned to step back and I've learned to not push. But so I had this new face-to-face sponsee and I got three sponsees here. So my service in the last year really revolved around being a sponsor. And it was really exciting for me. It's become very exciting for me to do this kind of service. And, I'm involved in my other fellowship too. You know, I don't do service for popularity. I have done service since I've retired to give back to my fellowships. If it wasn't for these fellowships, I would be a sick person, a physically and emotionally sick person. And I have a lot of skills. I have degrees. And I had a great job. And I have all these skills. And when I got involved with Nicotine Anonymous, I didn't know where to get involved when I started. I remember the first conference I went to, I asked this woman what can I do to get involved? I had no interest. I had no interest 12 years ago. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know how to do service. And being a part of Nicotine Anonymous taught me so much. And I really behaved for 3 years. I did. I did behave for 3 years. And I found also when my service was up, I did not behave as well. And I'm like, wow. And I really wasn't conscious of it, but I could see it. You know, I always heard myself after. No one has to criticize me because I know everything that I do wrong. If I do things wrong. But a lot of times people interpret what I say in a wrong fashion. And that's really not my problem because everyone has their own things that they have to work through. But I know that I am at a point in my recovery where I am not affected by what other people think and say anymore. You know, I really have found myself, and I believe very strongly in following the traditions of recovery. The steps are talked about all the time, and Bonner was not big on following traditions at all. And in the last year, I've become the person that I think brings the tradition meeting for the newcomers, and it's all new people there. And the discussions are so phenomenal as we talk about these traditions, posting the entire thing on the board, reading it, and then discussing how it relates to our life. And when you read those traditions, you're like, what the hell does this have to do with my life? But let me tell you, I met with a sponsee today, and we talked about Tradition 12. And it was the most powerful, deep, oh my God, it was just, it was so deep. It was, I do use with my sponsees an Al-Anon tradition. I did it with my sponsee here. I went through the entire Al-Anon step and tradition book, but I did the entire, I'm doing the traditions with anybody that wants to buy the book. I go through the traditions. And, you know, the questions that are asked in this book are just so pointed. So here's just an example. And this is about gaining clarity about the 12th step. How have I used gossiping to perpetuate my resentments? How has Tradition 12 helped me to gain clarity in a situation that I can express my feelings appropriately? I mean, this is tradition work. This is not step work. And I swear, I really swear that it's deeper than the step work that I've done. And I haven't done these traditions in, I'm thinking, 4 years. I think I finished with my sponsor about 3 or 4 years ago. And I haven't looked at these questions, but I find them, it's really deep. And in being in the traditions, you know what I keep learning is that it's not about me. Life is not about me. Life is about sharing with others, not being in charge, not trying to control things. You know, and I was very excited at the last group conscience meeting that we had because 7 brand new people are going to our conference. Well, I think one of them went last year, but the rest are all new people going to the Nicotine Anonymous conference. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I wasn't going to go to the conference, but I decided to go because one of my sponsees is going, and I love meeting these people I spend hours with and, you know, meeting them in person. I couldn't give up the opportunity to meet that person. And this is the first conference I'm going to that I don't have to do any service. For the last 7 years straight, I've had to sit. I was treasurer, and then I took a year off, and then I was chairperson of Nicotine Anonymous. So this is the first time in 7 years that I'm going to go to the conference and play. And I did volunteer, I connected, and I'm going to be chairing a traditions meeting at the conference. Isn't that just surprising? I'm just not sure what tradition, but I'm thinking it might be the 12th one after looking at it today. But you know, service for me is enhances my recovery, and it keeps me coming back. And as much as I want to step away and trust these new 7 people that are going to the conference, it's hard. It's really hard to step back because it's just like keeping my mouth shut. And when I keep my mouth shut, I move into depression because I think that nothing that I have to say is important or doesn't carry any weight or whatever. And so learning how to getting away from this, the smokescreen I wanted to talk about tonight, that smokescreen that just is stuck around us from all the years that we smoked. And we think, oh, it's just nicotine and I'll just stop smoking. No, it does. Without that smokescreen, it's a whole different life. It's so different than where I was 12 years ago. I'm so different than where I was 12 years ago. And it learning how to communicate, I'm finally feeling successful at communicating. And I mean, I've been retired for 14 friggin' years. So, you know, I did my work. I worked for 34 years at the job. And I'm finally learning how to communicate and how to respect other people and how to not have expectations and to accept everyone exactly as they are and to realize this anonymity business is about being an equal. No one is more important. Nobody does anything better. We all have our own choices on how we want to do recovery. And we all come to our own way of getting through recovery. And we do it one day at a time. One of the things this year that I've taken on that I just love doing is lately there have been people volunteering, but I spent a lot of time greeting people this year. So when they came into the room, I was the one, especially a new name, and I've been here for 12 years, so I know names. So the new people I send an IM to, I started sending them links and IM instead of, you know, I know it's very nice that we put all this stuff on the board, but the reality is I want to know how many people have actually been able to copy and paste something as it's scrolling up the screen. You know, we put all this stuff there because we want to be so helpful. But the reality is that I have, and I'm pretty good on the computer, but I cannot copy and paste. If, you know, I mean, right now the screen hasn't moved in a couple of seconds. So you could get that calendar thing. But I started as a greeter sending posts to people, sending links to people, so that when they got out of the meeting, they could click on that link. And, you know, instead of trying to memorize it down and all that business. So, yeah, did I go to Group Conscience and ask them if I can do this? No, because you have the ability to do anything you want in recovery. Everything that we say is a suggestion. But I really got into being a greeter. And it reminded me of 12 years ago. Because 12 years ago when I came here, I had a quit sister. She still quit. She doesn't. She quit after 3 months coming to meetings. And she still quit. She's gone through cancer. She's changed her profession. I talked to her during the year. Didn't talk. We communicate via email. But she used to, when I used to chair meetings, she used to always greet. And she never chaired, I don't think she ever chaired meetings that I remember. She knew that she wasn't going to stick around. So she greeted. And she probably met more people and talked to more people than I did, even though I was chairing. Because I see how the greeter can really develop relationships with people. It's all recovery to me. I love what recovery has done for me, and anyone can do it. I know anyone can do recovery, but you have to stay with it. That's all I can say. I reached out to a person every single time I had a craving. That's how I got my time. I talked my way in print, typing. I typed through my entire recovery. I still send emails to people. People write to me, you know, and I also connect with Nicotine Anonymous has an email pen pal. And I read that and I connect there and I write on there at least once a week, sometimes more. And they have like 70 or 80 people that are on that email list. And I also send emails, anyone here that wants to write, you know, I send emails and I always respond, you know, and staying on top of it and doing it on a daily basis is hard, but that's how I got sober, smober. And I write to people and then people will drop out. People, I want to say, people come and go in this room. And I had a lot of practice of getting very close to a lot of people. And one day they're here and the next day they're gone. And I don't go chasing after people because I believe that this is a program of track promotion. I'm not into promoting it anywhere. And if people want it, they can come back and hang out in the room and go to the meetings and volunteer to read the steps and the traditions and the third step prayer and the promises. That's how I started. And, you know, and I have chaired meetings for the last 12 years consistently. I never stopped chairing meetings. I just finished doing the 12th tradition, and I wanted to write to Marianne to tell her to take the meeting off the meeting list. But, you know, I keep on thinking that maybe I'll bring some of these questions on the tradition and try to bring a deeper understanding of the traditions. I don't know. I keep on thinking I want to do that, and then I want to go to another time slot. I move around a lot. I've never stayed. I've gone through every book that Nicotine Anonymous has written in meetings, page to page, even the step workbook. It took 2.5 years to get through the step workbook, put every single question on the screen, read the parts in between. Boy, that was in the end when I was doing the 12th step, there was a woman here that was dying and she was there every week and she talked about the 12th step every single week. And it took, you know, it takes 4 or 5 weeks to get through the whole step. I kind of at a faster pace than other people do when they're doing it. But it was such a joy to have this woman at a meeting every week who was dying and answer questions to the 12th step. That was a gift for me. I never met her. I was supposed to meet her, but she was supposed to come to a conference, but she didn't. And one of our members got her lunch, or she had paid for lunch and dinner and gave it to one of the guys that came to the conference. But, you know, I don't know. And I know probably a lot of you are here tonight thinking, what does this have to do with nicotine? This is my recovery. And I share about my recovery every year. And the other things that have happened to me, I decided in October this year to go on for 300 more hours of yoga training. And the only reason why I did that is because I'm so into the spiritual part of yoga. And I, so, you know, the stories are stories, the gods and everything are all stories to me, but I just love the connection between yoga and recovery. And one of the things I had to do was lead a book club. Oh, I don't like to read. I had to lead a book club. And the book that we I had to do was How Yoga Works. And I am doing it through Pal Talk with one person. One of my sponsees is in it. And my ex comes here every other week for this. And someone that I worked with. So I have three parts of my life that are not connected at all talking about recovery using a yoga book. It's so powerful. We only meet for an hour every other week, but it's so to share our thoughts. It's just powerful. And I mean, the four people that I have in this book club are not, they would never meet any other way, but you know, it's just like four different parts of my life. And I also got a gift in February of this year, right before my anniversary. I was offered a 1-hour yoga position on Monday nights. And so I am now officially a yoga teacher. And I actually get paid for it. And yoga to me as a service is just like being in recovery. And I don't like getting paid. I always vowed that I would never take a job after I retired because I never wanted to take money away from someone that really needed the position and needed to make money. And, I just decided that I get paid, $16 an hour, I guess. And I take that money and I purchase essential oils so I can give towelettes. I bought all these towels so I can infuse them with a smell so they have them after the yoga class. It's the traditions of recovery that I'm following here. I don't want to get paid. So I bring it back to the people that are in my yoga class. I bring them infused towels. I purchase oils. You know, I buy colored candles. I just bought green ones for March. I have a different color for every month. I already bought red and I already bought blue candles. So I'm on green ones now. So that, because I got to tell you that my class is 6:30 at night and they want the lights off. Nobody wants the lights on and I love the atmosphere. But, you know, so the changes that I've done in the last year are just amazing. I can't believe that I'm this age and still changing, you know, and still trying new things. And yes, I left my service in Nicotine Anonymous, but it opened me up to, you know, to the yoga field. To yoga and recovery. You know, I have to teach a class for 4 weeks someplace and I'm going to do it with people in recovery. That's my population. You know, that's who I like working with. Although I am involved in other things. Oh, this is funny. At least it's funny to me. I know I shared this story with Tammy. I think, I don't know if I shared it with anyone else, but I'm secretary of my retired teachers association union based, and I volunteered to be secretary because there was no one in the spot. And again, I'm very grateful that I'm a teacher and that I have the pension that I have and my union. If it wasn't for a union, I wouldn't be in the spot that I'm in. And so, you know, it's this spiritual thing of doing service, of bringing the minutes. Well, you know, you guys know how I talk, and sometimes I just get blah, 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 everything gets mumbo jumbled, and even when I write things, if I write anything in month, it gets all mumbo jumbled. I can follow it, but sometimes other people can't follow it. And two ditties, and they got to be close to their 80s, basically told me that I didn't belong in the position because I didn't know how to write. This is a volunteer position. I'm getting paid for it. And they, in the middle of a meeting with 15 people there, just dissed my writing skills in front of everyone. I sat there at the front table crying. Academics is not my strength. And that's something else I've changed in with this yoga training, is that I ask my friend for help. I actually have a friend helping me with my yoga homework. That is growth. Who the hell wants to admit when you're 69 years old that you don't understand things and you need help? But I asked for help. Where did I get that idea from? Ding, ding, ding. Recovery. Asking for help. And I asked for help about 2 months ago, and it was anatomy stuff. And I got to tell you, my low self-esteem of not being a student has gone. It's gone. I've held that for 69 years. I always knew that everyone was brighter than me. I remember reading and practicing with my mother, reading when I was a kid. And I remember going to school and everyone else could just read it. And I used to practice it. Not get what words meant. I had major comprehension problems. But here I am volunteering as a 69-year-old to be a secretary and two ditties tell me how bad my writing skills are as I cry 2 months ago, two or 3 months ago. And so one of the ladies said that she would help me. So I had to mail her the minutes, and she's going to correct them. Now, of course, I can't do it online like any other normal group, but and I mailed her in the minutes that she took. And she lost them. I'm laughing because now I was there crying. I didn't take any minutes for about 20 minutes to half an hour. So whatever the minutes are when they get them, oh, well. You know. And she did ask me. She says, now, what you sent me, did you correct them? And I said, no, because I had, but I knew they weren't corrected to her liking. I said, no, I didn't correct them. I just kind of got them out to you because you said that you wanted to help me. So I just got them out to you. But, you know, just the things that I've learned, this is all this year, asking for help. And even though to me it's like not that important how these minutes are, and it really isn't that important to me, but don't tell Tammy that because, you know, Tammy's like the best secretary that we ever had. And you know, and I was like, my sponsor volunteered me to be secretary when I had a year, and I had it for 2 years. And I did everything my way and had more people telling me that the minutes were wrong and blah, blah, blah. And I finally learned how to do them, just putting the motion and keeping out all the discussion because it is what it is. Anyway, I'm looking at the time. I'm going on and on and on here, and it's 5:08. So I think it's time to pull this to an end. My whole thing is that I'm trying to say is service has gotten me to where I am in life. I'm grateful. I have no desire to drink or to smoke. I just am just absolutely so blessed to have the life that I have. And it's all due to recovery. And, you know, it can be done. Just keep coming back. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. And above everything else, more will be revealed. Even when you think you've got it, more will be revealed. And thank you.